Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
I just lost my appetite.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 27, I Only Have Eyes For You. And now your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Really nothing can prepare the listener for how dumb this episode is, so we should probably just start it.
Yeah, I agree. But feel free to bet amongst yourselves as to whether we can set a new school and pool record for how quickly we do one of these episodes.
Oh my God,
let's begin.
Seriously. All right. We only have one plot line this week, and it is, I mean, they're all braided together. There was no way to undo them. I tried because some of them are really stupid. So our A/only plot is Val and Kelly engage in journalistic dirty tricks, and there's also an electric car and a magic wand. And good God, why is this season still happening to us? Right?
Extremely well put.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Yeah.
So fucking Brandon and Kelly wake up in bed together. And of course, Jenny Garth has the blanket pulled up practically over her face to cover up everything that's going on underneath her boobs. And it is with a heavy heart that I must inform you, her baby voice is at it again, clipped in.
Am I in your bed?
Mm-hmm.
Are we back together?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel harassed and unsafe, first of all. Second of all, nice enthusiasm, Brandon. I know she's 7 months pregnant, but a little acting.
God. I hate them so much. Also, obviously, he dumped Tracy to get back together with Kelly, but you would think that they would have, like, you know, the grace, since they still know people in common, to like wait a couple of weeks maybe before doing this. I don't know.
I guess.
But of course, Tracy is not in the game. So as soon as she's stopped dating Brandon, she's ceased to exist as far as this universe is concerned. Like, we never see her again.
She was
fired
into
the sun. And I never saw him again.
So next door, Val hears Brandon and Kelly flirt fighting through the wall. It truly does sound barficious. She rolls her eyes gorgeously, which is like the minimum of what she could do because it's awful. And when she comes out, Steve is also standing at the door like a perv. He thinks Val should be happy for Brandon. She would rather be asleep. I am obviously Team Val.
Yeah.
And Steve tells her to take a sniff because love is in the air. Gross.
Ew.
And Kelly comes out on the end of Val shade that's not worth repeating and stride of pride's home. What?
Take a sniff because love is in the air.
That's what he
says.
That's
like the lost verse of the Juicy Fruit commercial. Take a sniff because love is in the air.
Oh, God. It's true. So I'm pretty sure the first time we ever hear that Donna's major is fashion and that she plans to become a designer is when she starts bitching about her class from hell, which is called Business of Fashion. And it's taught by mean old Professor Langley, who we'll get to know better in the next episode. Kind of awesomely. And after getting lightly shaded by Claire for ghosting on her friends now that she's fucking someone, Kelly makes things worse by saying she's blowing off their girls' night in, watching gymnastics to do something with Brandon, undefined. Kelly promises she'll make it up to them. Narrator, she won't. And when Kelly has taken off, Claire stays disgusted in clip 3.
Wait, I mean, you do understand, right?
Dropping everything for a guy?
Whatever.
Especially that guy when it's the reunion tour. Like, yeah. Everybody gets 60 to 90 days if it's new D, but this is the same old sunny, tiny D. No. No.
Also, she lives with them still, technically. Like, it should not be that hard to make time to hang out with them. Like, they're around the corner from your room, but whatever.
Well, who wants to hang out with her anyway? Like, all of this is a little hard to relate to because it's Kelly. No thanks.
True also. So elsewhere, Brandon and Steve are coming out of what I guess we're supposed to think is the gay supermarket because shopping for a woman one is fucking has made them like super duper gay. Clip 4.
I can't believe we bought cruelty-free shampoo.
And tofu.
But don't worry, nobody saw us.
Does Kelly eat that stuff? You don't need it, do you?
No, no, God, no.
Good.
Wow.
I mean,
what happens if you eat it or use the shampoo?
Dave, I think you know. It's the purchaser of lots of tofu in our household.
Yes, I believe it turns you 90s gay, 90s gay, 90s gay.
Also, is it masculine to want to inflict cruelty on animals with shampoo? Like, why the side swipe at that one?
Well, I try to use animal cruelty-free shampoo, but after I do, I like to seek out an animal I don't know and kick it just to balance the universe.
Thank you for clarifying that it's animals you don't know. I'm just imagining you like crossing the street to find a cow looking both ways, dashing up to it like, punt.
By the way, he could.
I could.
They are across the street, up the hill.
You know, sometimes at night you can hear them doing it.
Yeah, they're real loud.
Yeah.
That Brandon is also in the mood.
So Brandon's also blowing off his bros to spend more time with Kelly. In the good old student union, Val briefly complains about her dating dry spell. Just to remind everyone, Rob left town 2 episodes ago. Before Claire brings up Kelly's canceled plans again, cueing Val to try and get an invite. When she's reminded that it's the gymnastics finals, she says she's interested. In clip 5.
You like gymnastics?
Varsity team in high school. I love the championships. Now, the big question is where I'm going to watch it. Brennan and Kelly have taken over the house.
Why don't you watch it with us?
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay, be over at 7.
Varsity team in high school with those beauties on your front?
I don't think so. Mm-mm, no. Yeah, that is not only a body for ballet or gymnastics.
No, or ice skating. You just know.
Mm-mm. But God bless. And then Kelly is letting herself in at the Walsh house, which is apparently empty. She goes into Val's room and actually does something nice by picking up a bunch of papers that blew off the window seat. And when she does, she can't help snooping around and pretty quickly finds Val's journal on her nightstand. We have to see the first page to remind us that Kelly gave it to Val for Christmas. And by the way, Kelly's handwriting is terrible. You can see it in the visual aids. Like, it's so girly and stupid. It just enraged me like everything else about her.
Also, she hasn't changed her clothes since like the night she and Brandon first hooked up. It's like at least 36 hours later.
Oh, gross.
Change your clothes. I didn't notice
that. Did not notice. Kelly's clearly tempted to snoop, but closes it again and puts it back, which is when Brandon comes back and he's now officially done at the TV station. So I guess we're done with Tracy too. Bye forever.
Wow.
Kelly then nosily asks Brandon why Val doesn't have any photos of her family on the wall. It's all shots of the gang, mostly Brandon and Steve. And Brandon says Val and her family are not close. Kelly guesses it's good that Val has Brandon and Steve and suggests that they make dinner the next night for everybody, even Valerie, as if any reasonable person would excuse from a shared meal a person who lives in the house where it's being served. Like, she acts like this is such a magnanimous gesture and not like the obvious thing you would be forced to do if you were having dinner there.
Well, and she's going to make everyone's favorite foods, plural, like each individual person's favorite foods. Like, you disappeared for a fuck fest. You didn't run over their pets. Settle down. You're pregnant. Get off your feet.
Seriously. So the girls' night at the beach apartment kicks off with cartwheels and champagne, which Val has brought by, which I mean probably stole from the club. So keep an eye on that, David. They mute the pre-show commentary because there are judges and have to be unbiased. And it's cute how much they get into it. I'm sorry. Like, they have little cards, they can write scores on them. It's cute.
Yeah, it is cute.
It's also funny that we see Claire do a cartwheel, Donna does a split, and then Tiffany Thiessen come out and they're like, now you. And she's like, no, it doesn't even pretend to have learned anything.
And she's like, I brought champagne and I'm done. I was like, that's yeah. That a girl. Yeah.
Yep. Donna sends Val into Kelly's room to get another marker, and where Val immediately finds Kelly's journal and starts reading, but Val doesn't get to read for long before Donna calls her back. She does jump out her champagne into a pot of dead flowers, which is weirdly hostile yet unproductive, I feel, but whatever. And over at Couple's house, Brandon is flipping around the channels looking for the basketball score when he pauses on gymnastics. He's impressed, but Kelly admits she doesn't even like gymnastics. Wow, what a good martyr of a friend you are to have played along this long, I guess is what we're supposed to think? Question mark?
I don't know.
Who cares? She takes the remote and flips and ends up on a show with some really creepy ass rubber puppets, which you can see in the visual aids. It's something called Magic Morton, which is a kid's show with a human host who would introduce the puppet skits with a wave of his magic wand. Brandon pretends to care badly. Kelly says it was her favorite show when she was a kid, and it is with an even heavier heart that I must inform you, Brandon has added another shitty impression to his repertoire, lip six.
I thought Magic Morton could make anything happen. You could send away for one of his magic wands. I wanted one so bad.
Really? And what were you going to do with that magic wand? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more, say no more.
What is that an impression of? Me
it's
punching
Monty
into
Python.
Death?
Monty Python. And like yeah. the most basic Monty Python thing that you can do too, by the way, which like it's, you know, it's basic to quote comedy skits anyway, but like especially that one. And also like no one watching this show would know what that even was. It's so dumb and such a vain Jason Priestley moment, I'm sure.
Ugh, yeah.
Anyway, Kelly says she would have waved it over her mom and dad to make them love each other, and you might think this would chasten Brandon, but the face he makes is one of his most smugly punchable, as you can see in the visual aids, before he says, it's very sweet, tell your face. She asked her dad to send away for a wand.
No, carry on. I'm fine.
Listen, look at the visual aids and tell me I'm wrong. So she sent away for a magic wand. She never got it. Her dad said it probably got lost in the mail, but adult Kelly is pretty sure her dad just never sent away for it at all. And Brandon declares he's going to get her one. She says he can't. The show's been off the air for years. He tells her to trust him. She says she does. This is stupid. At Gymnastics Fest, Donna and Val are tipsy and narrate Claire's attempts to toss an M&M in her mouth. Claire misses and Donna has another black swan moment of actual comedic talent as she boos her, which I made a gif of. You can see it in the visual aids. It is also cute.
Yeah. Then they write their scores and Donna's is upside down. Like, it's actually effective stuff. I just wish Val had been friends with them all along, because the show is actually pretty good when they're acting like normal 21-year-olds.
Ugh. Yeah, I agree. So Val gets up and flops back down on the couch immediately. Donna says she's not driving. And when Val says she'll call a cab, Donna and Claire order her to stay there because they have lots of room. And Val agrees that Kelly's not there, so she'll just help herself to Kelly's bed and takes off before they can stop her. And then we see Val wearing one of Kelly's pajama shirts, sliding into the bedroom and starting to snoop for real. First find is Bill Taylor's business card, of which Kelly, for some reason, has several just like scattered around her desk, even though he hasn't been around in months, as far as we know.
Well, and is it Val like then, confetti? Of course, it's supposed to be like a design element of her super 90s ugly, like Pier One before they were bought by someone else. Like, it's just so like a lot of dusty rose and pale wood. It's terrible.
Yes, it's a very autumn florals kind of a palette.
That's exactly it.
Anyway, Val then, of course, takes Kelly's journal to bed because she was not drunk at all, you guys. She just faked it for this exact reason. And after a commercial, Kelly comes home. Claire and Donna are in the kitchen for greetings, but Val is still in Kelly's bed and wakes up to the sound of her entrance. Also still in Kelly's bed is Kelly's journal, and Val quickly makes the bed before putting the journal back on Kelly's desk, where it totally was not when she originally found it, by the way. She also helps herself to one of Bill's business cards. And in the kitchen, they're recapping the previous night's competition when Val comes out and startles Kelly, whose first comment is that Val is wearing her shirt. Donna says that Val slept there, and Val adds it was actually in Kelly's room, and everyone explains the situation calmly, despite Kelly acting like a possum slept in her bed. When Val ends on, "You wouldn't have wanted me to drive home, would you?" Kelly agrees that she wouldn't. She just came home to get some things to take back to Brandon's, and she invites everyone to this stupid dinner. When Donna asks about David's club schedule, Val shrugs that she'll work tonight, and Kelly actually asks whether they can both take the night off. Val says they could. Claire and Donna can't believe it, as Kelly says she and Brandon both really wanted Val to come, and Val agrees. And Claire then invites Kelly to an aerobics class that afternoon, but Kelly can't. She's got to go buy all their favorite foods. Val asks if she could join them. They agree. They will rue this day, but for now, it seems like fun. Kelly goes to her room, starts packing up all her trapeze dresses to bring to Brandon's. And she ends up at her desk, maybe notices that her journal isn't where she left it, and takes that too. It's not clear if she can tell something is up yet.
And I think this is the point where she like opens it and reads her own journal. Maybe not, but at some point we do see a picture of the first page. You will see this in the visual aids. I made sure to sharpen it up so that you could see what a 7-year-old Kelly is. Today, I woke up and had some coffee. Then I went shoe shopping and bought some black shoes. Then I went to Fitbit. I mean,
oh my God, really?
So, yeah.
I missed that.
Real boring. Anyway, visual aids. Enjoy.
Amazing. At the Peach Pit, Nat is apparently on the phone with Magic Morton, working his angles on Brandon's behalf. Brandon takes the phone brayingly, how else? And we see that A, Magic Morton is Dom DeLuise, RIP, and B, Nat has given him to understand that Brandon is a big fan of the show, which Brandon plays along with. And Magic Morton tries to pump Brandon for compliments on the show. When Brandon doesn't offer any, Magic Morton excitedly says they can share their memories when they meet later today. And then for no reason, he eats a chip right into the phone before hanging up. Which I also made a gif. It's like crunch, click. It's very weird. Nat warns Brandon not to cancel on Magic Morton because he gets weird about that. And then Steve and David show up to take Brandon for some fucking car show. And they go to the lovingly B-rolled Peterson Automotive Museum down the street from our old apartment. And they start an exhibit on American muscle cars where Steve is weirdly enthusing about the smell of the diesel, like, A, shut up, and B, this has not aged well, given what we now know about climate change. Neither has this aged well. Clip 7.
Well, since we're talking about torque and acceleration, how are things progressing with Donna?
Oh, shut up, Steve.
Oh, come on. I'm just trying to give you a few pointers here.
Warning. Sanders' advice often is defective and doesn't come with a factory warranty.
Yeah, so I've heard.
Great. I'm trying to help out here. You know, get the car on the road before the engine overheats.
Steve, I don't need any advice on sex or cars, all right? Thanks.
What about sex in cars?
Yeah, what about sex in cars? Silver!
Oh, God. It's so stupid. All of it.
Stud mania out of control.
If only.
It is out of control. Just a couple of things. They know that David has had sex with other women, and they know Donna's plan is not to have sex, I believe. So if they know that David has gotten back together with her, then wouldn't they assume like he's okay with how things are and not have this conversation or bring it up?
Or they're pressuring him to pressure her, which is not cute. Find something else to talk about.
Right. Yeah. So,
or they're trying to sell him a car.
Well, they end up at a poor model who's standing next to a sign advertising a chance to win a demonstration ride in an electric concept car. The total, do you come with the car? From The Simpsons. Steve really wants to win it, even though he was just jizzing all over the gassy muscle cars, and heads off to bribe the dude into letting them win. And hey, it works. They get an electric car joyride in the alley later. Seems legit. And then the girls, minus Kelly, are aerobicizing and loving life and friendship. And Claire's top is really cute. Sorry, you can see that in the visual aids too. I really enjoy their athleisure wear in this scene. And then, now Kelly is behind paper grocery bags on the counter at Brandon's when the phone rings, and she answers, even though it's not her house, but it's Brandon. And he tells her he's not going to make it back to help her with dinner, because of course he's not. And he teases the surprise he may have for her, but then their ride is there and he has to go. And the guy Steve tried to bribe gives Steve a code to punch in. He doesn't even want the bribe Steve offers. He also tells them to take all the time they want, doesn't even want to hold their driver's licenses. Seems legit, as I said. But Brandon can't miss his meeting with Magic Morton, so David stays back so Steve can drop Brandon off. And then we see Steve's hookup get fired for taking kickbacks, which he apparently knew was coming. And as Steve's guy is taking off, his boss finally notices that the electric car is gone. Cut to the gym, where now the girls are in the sauna talking about how much fun they had and why they don't do this more often. Val says it's because of Kelly, duh. Claire tries to cover, but Val starts weaving her web in clip 8.
Claire, let's face it, okay? I mean, if Kelly was here, I wouldn't be. She wouldn't let it happen. And I'm not blaming you guys. I mean, I know how vindictive she can be.
Look, Kelly's our friend, and we're not going to get into anything negative about her, okay?
Well, you're a better friend than she is. She doesn't have a problem saying what she doesn't like about you guys.
What do you mean?
Well, she says that you're vain. You spend too much time on your looks, and she made some choice observations about your hair.
What did she say about my hair?
Well, which, by the way, I have to say I really, really like.
No, Kelly would never say that. She wouldn't even think it.
Well, she says that you're way obsessive about your grades, and the only reason that you're going to school is to get a Mrs. degree.
I don't get this. I mean, Kelly told you all this?
No, I read it in her journal.
You read her journal? I'm sorry, that is wrong.
It was laying open. I mean, I just read a page or two.
I don't believe it.
Look, guys, I didn't write it, okay? And if you don't believe me, I mean, ask Kelly. Better than that, you read it yourself.
It's MRS degree. That's
Seriously,
the joke.
That's the joke. And also, like, what a dumb, I don't know. Like, of all the dumb plots that Donna has gotten stuck with because she ain't fucking, like, that's mm-hmm. not who she is at all. So pick something more believable.
Neither part of it. Like, if she was obsessed with her grades, then why would she care about getting her MRS degree or the opposite? Like, yeah. If she's just there to get married, her grades don't matter. Dumb.
Yeah.
And we've never seen any evidence that Donna cares about her grades or is good in school since that time she was good at picking stocks at West Beverly in that class.
Odd.
Anyway, cut to the dumb car where Steve is touching everything on the dashboard while Brandon tries to drive. We hear a siren and Brandon pulls over. The totally chill LAPD cops box them in and pop out of their cruisers with their guns drawn. Brandon and Steve get out. And of course, Brandon is fully Andy from Wet Hot American Summer, bussing his tray and scowling the whole time because white male privilege. Like, this is such an inconvenience to him to be arrested in a car he just stole, which, yes, they're being charged with grand theft auto. Just a pretty big gangster way to go out for the fired guy, I have to say.
Yeah.
And the fact that these are the guys that get caught in his scheme is just perfect. So Brandon and Steve are brought into an interview room at the police station where we're told one of the arresting officers ran their names and that they have no priors. Not even for Brandon for drunk driving in high school. Cough. I mean, I guess I could have gotten expunged when he turned 18, but still.
Yeah. Nothing about the house fire with Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing about David.
I guess that was a civil matter.
Davidding. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, Brandon is so confident as a white man that he's pissy about demanding his phone call so he can cover the Magic Morton meeting. Like, it's not weed theft, auto idiot. And also call a lawyer. Surprise. The cop doesn't care. Their story sounds totally shady, particularly the part where they thought nothing of a stranger whose name they didn't even get, letting them take a $35,000 car for a ride because of white privilege. At this point, David enters to corroborate their tale, but there's no sign of the museum guy. And now David just seems like an accessory. Given our current climate with regard to policing, I just seriously cannot get over what assholes they are all being in this scene. So let's hear clip 9.
Look, officer, I'm really supposed to be someplace. I need to make a phone call.
They are entitled to a phone call. I think we should save that one phone call for our lawyers.
This man has the right idea. I follow his advice.
You obviously don't know him.
By the way, a rep from the museum is on his way over.
Maybe he'll be able to give us a positive ID on you boys. Now might be a good time to call your attorneys.
What is David even doing there? David's not an attorney. What, it's like visiting hour in the holding pen? He just like sashays in there in his XXXXXL jeans? Fuck off.
Yeah. No part of this makes sense, including and especially Brandon laughing, which you can hear in that clip, like, at how absurd this all is. You can see in the visual aids the cestic of Brandon shithead faces that I made. So look out for those.
I'm surprised you can find yourself to six. It's a service you're doing.
At the apartment, Claire and Don are getting ready for Kelly's big dinner party, but Claire hasn't stopped thinking about Val's report of Kelly's shittiness, and Donna reminds her that it's very possible Val just lied. Claire agrees and adds that even if Kelly did shit on Claire's hair, it's petty for her to be pissy about it. Donna notes that roommates are bound to get on each other's nerves sometimes, but they are both filled with self-doubt, and when they compare notes, each can confirm the thing Val said Kelly shat on about the other. Okay. Off they go to Kelly's room to find the journal, but it's gone. And now they're both just hurt and pitiful, and Claire doesn't feel like going to dinner anymore. Donna says they have to, but Claire says that Kelly will be able to tell they're faking it, which I doubt it. She's pretty self-involved. So Claire calls to cancel for them both in clip 10.
Claire, what's wrong?
Oh, it's just a bad night. You know, just goofing around with my hair, and now it's a mess. I'll be so self-conscious about it, I won't be able to shut up.
You're not coming because of your hair? What's going on? Is Donna there?
Yeah, she's studying. Well, not really studying, just obsessing about finals. They're weeks away, but you know Donna.
I don't understand this.
Really?
It's so weird. I mean, it's so typical for us. We thought you would. Bye, Cal.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah, I only wish it lasted like for multiple episodes of them hating her. But anyway, back to the storyline I hate even fucking more. Then fucking Steve and Brandon have been sprung from the police station, and the explanation is one line from David about the museum guy showing up to clear them. Why didn't we see this? Why do I care?
Why do we have to see any of it? Who gives a shit?
God. Anyway, Brandon is stressed about how late they are for Kelly's dinner. Like, you were just arrested. I think she'll understand. But anyway, they're dropping Brandon off for his Magic Morton meeting, for which he is very late. There's so much stuff in the scene. Brandon says the wand is for his girlfriend and tells Magic Morton the stupid story of Bill Taylor flaking, and Magic Morton doesn't care. But Brandon's shambling charm, or what we're supposed to think is that, convinces Magic Morton to quit being mad at him. Speaking of mad, though, Kelly is dumping out her half-made food in the sink like a real wasteful dick when Val comes chirping in. Kelly asks whether Val knew Claire and Donna wouldn't come, and Val says she thought they'd stay out of the line of fire. Kelly asks how she knew there would be a firing line, and Val straight admits that she read Kelly's journal and recounted its contents to Claire and Donna, and her unbothered face, which you can see in the visual aids, is hilarious. She's just like, what? She doesn't care. Kelly is aghast that it's not enough for Claire and Donna to like Val. They also have to hate Kelly. Val says they don't, but that's just icing on the cake. And then she sticks her finger in the icing on the cake on the counter and licks it. Thanks, handy prop. It's great.
Yeah. I wish she would just act that like carefree about it all the time and just be a shitster and nothing else.
Mm-hmm. The next morning, Claire and Donna are feeling guilty because apparently Kelly came home just to pout in her room with the door closed like a fucking drama queen. Kelly didn't stay at Brandon's when she was mad at Donna, and Claire had assumed they were also mad at her. What? Any of this? Anyway, Kelly comes out dressed for school. Donna says on behalf of her and Claire that they feel bad about both Kelly and the journal. Claire says they thought they were Kelly's best friends, and Kelly says they are, but it's more than that. They're like sisters to her. Sometimes they're like bratty brothers or bossy mothers, so who else would she write about in her journal? She shouldn't complain, though. She's lucky to have them. Apologies all around. This is where we find out that Kelly left the Walsh house before Brandon even got home, and that when he called her, she was a bitch, so she has to go apologize.
Oh, the show, it knows. It knows that she sucks. It has to.
It does. So Donna has an idea for how to make it up to Kelly. It involves food, and Claire says she has the same idea. So here's some new making his own fun. As Steve lies in bed, Ian Ziering has his upper lip all folded up into itself, so he looks like a chipmunk for no reason. You can see this in the visual aids too. And when the phone rings and it's Claire and we cut back to him, his lip is back to normal. He's just so bored. Anyway.
Amen.
She delivers a mission that we don't hear. Cut to Whole Foods, where David and Donna are coming out with a full cart. of gay groceries. He brings up her mean Professor Langley, but she doesn't want to obsess about school because it's one of Kelly's criticisms of her. Shut up, Donna, and shut up, Kelly. Donna is, however, insightful enough to realize there's a reason she was so upset about how much time Kelly was spending with Brandon, and it wasn't just that she felt ignored. Clip 11.
Jealous that they have a kind of intimacy that we don't.
Donna.
No, I mean, they sleep together, they make love, and we hold off because of me, my beliefs.
Please don't remind me.
Okay.
Shut up, David.
Yeah. He ends by telling her not to be jealous of what anyone else has because he loves her and that won't change. But A, you can understand why she might not trust that. And B, if that's how you feel, quit with the digs all the time about how she won't have sex with you.
Really? Like, break up with her or shut up and deal with it? Those are the options.
Exactly.
Not this constant passive aggressive.
Nope.
Ugh, terrible.
Oh, it will get less passive in the next episode, by the way. So then Kelly goes over to Brandon's and he gives her the wand. He also has a letter addressed with Bill's handwriting. Magic Morton kept everything from the show, including office files. He doesn't know why the wand was never sent, but Bill didn't fuck up this one thing. Kelly reads the letter, but who cares? Everyone, even Val, makes breakfast for Kelly. So now that the natural balance has returned, Claire is bitchy to Val again. Steve goes out to Brandon's room, acting grave and calling Brandon to a house meeting downstairs, which Kelly also comes to, even though she doesn't live there. Surprise, it's brunch. Val hangs back and seethes for a minute before heading out. Steve tries to stop her, but she's not into it and pretty sure she won't be missed, which Steve proves when he doesn't insist that she stay, and neither does anyone else. So Val goes to her room to seethe some more before remembering Bill's business card and picking up the phone. The end.
Okay.
Yep. Who's your main? let's close it up. Who's your most valuable player?
Fired car museum guy. He tried. He tried to get their trifling asses locked up. He failed.
In just this one instance, I'm going to give it to the overly aggressive LAPD officers for making me think they might shoot Brandon.
They really slammed him up against the car. I understand it's because he's tiny and they didn't realize. Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Least valuable player.
Kelly.
All right. And her boring journal, if that's the best she could come up with, it's hardly worth reading anyway.
Yeah, really. Then I bought some shoes. That should win me over. It does not at all.
And now we have a user submitted challenge. At IceQueen5337 on Twitter challenges us to list 5 ways this episode would be better with Jim and Cindy around. Well, number one, less lolling around in bed for Brandon and Kelly with Kelly baby voicing all of her stupid insipid thoughts.
Cindy would not permit her to just dump an entire salad down the garbage disposal.
Cindy's food would probably be better also.
Jim probably knows better attorneys than David and is used to Brandon fucking up with cars. So he'd like be on it. There's like a strike team. Jim could play the Casio. There was a lot of Casio in the soundtrack. Jim could take care of that.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, that makes 5.
Next time and again with this, Arnold and Sanders Sr. cause more contrived kerfuffling between their kids. Jenny Garth's baby bump hiding plot du jour is a flu flashback face-off with Valerie. And blah, blah, Donna version, blah, 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 crawfish cakes. Starve the fever of our visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This on our website at previously.tv. You can follow that website on Twitter at previouslyTV and this podcast at AWT90210. I'm extremely defensive vegetarian Sarah D. Bunting. I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is kids show host turned hoarder Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is David T. Cole. Good shooting, David T. Cole. He's on Twitter at Clark. Talk to you next time.
Hi. know what to do after the beeparoonie.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.